respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Sarnam Gacchami, Divyampi Tapyampi Sangha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance, again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Sarnam Gacchami, Divyampi Tapyampi Sangha. I turn to the teachings for guidance, again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance, again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridayaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by a compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by a compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by a compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by a compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by a compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by a compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sava. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this morning?
So I was looking at the assignment for this morning. Uh-huh. That we turn to God when we feel our foundations shaking, only to discover that God is shaking our foundations.
Wow, you have a giant smile on your face, because just that place, so, yeah.
Yeah, I think I have been having that experience.
Right. We can hear some laughter, I think we can relate.
Yeah, and it's in a very, it's almost like there's an identity that is really being challenged, mm-hmm. and the way in which it is being challenged, is God challenging it? Right, in the sense of the identity itself is something I have to look at. Why am I clinging to that?
Uh-huh.
And so here's the content.
Okay.
There's it's a process because the content has shown up a lot in my life recently. There's this beautiful tree, really, really old, gorgeous tree right outside where I live. And its roots are coming out of the sidewalk. And its leaves are in the telephone wires. And so some official in the city has decided to cut the tree down. Mm-hmm. Because it's a hazard to the kids that are going to school and a hazard to the electricity. And I project this tree has stood for a really, really long time.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a beautiful expression of life and of it's old and it's gnarled and it's, you know, it's just lived through so much. Mm-hmm. And I can feel the emotion that somebody is going to come and cut the tree down, mm-hmm. because it's in the way, it's inconvenient to a way of life.
Yeah, gosh. So here's this just old, gnarly, beautiful tree that we can project has been around for a really long time, just doing what trees do, just growing and being beautiful.
Yes, and was probably there long before we created the school.
Telephone.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. You know, there's such a right to existence. Uh-huh. And some bureaucrat somewhere has decided, without ever seeing the tree.
Yeah, there's like a dismissiveness.
Yes.
Without ever, it sounds like not being connected to what this tree represents.
Yes.
And instead just, well, this is an inconvenience.
Yeah, so somebody showed up, somebody put a little pink ribbon around it. It's been titled for execution, right?
And of course, there's no other possibilities. It's just get rid of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did look into whether or not I could, I called the number and said, you know, is it possible, what can we do to save the tree, and there was this heritage process that we could go to, but it doesn't qualify as a heritage tree, or whatever, right?
You're looking from a place of possibility. It sounds like who wants to cut down the tree is not.
Yeah, well, I'm going to lose that battle. I mean, I don't even have the energy to fight it, right? If it's not that tree, it's going to be the next one down the street. Uh-huh. But the place where beauty and age and the goodness, good things, are constantly being destroyed, if you will, by consciousness, which is also life, but doesn't have any problem destroying life. And that conundrum is a real spiritual opportunity. And so regarding that quote, it's like, what I watched happen is that there is a belief that if something destroyed goodness, something gets lost.
That's the suffering.
That's the suffering. Like, I mourn the loss of goodness. Mm-hmm. I mourn the... And what was dropping in is that life doesn't care.
Apparently not.
I mean, I on an intellectual level, on an other pieces of content, when it comes to people, I can sort of move that way. But what I'm watching as the process is, that's the belief that God is shaking my foundations with, which is, yeah, okay, that's beautiful, but I'm going to produce another tree.
When you were saying that, it's sort of like, so it just opens up your world, because if you're kind of locked in, destroying goodness is a loss.
Yes.
And that's what you're identified with. You're not really free.
Yes.
And so by shaking that belief, you know, we wouldn't even think to challenge that. But it's goodness, and it's being lost.
Yeah, well, what I was watching is how it puts me in the place of the small mind and not whole mind,
yeah.
Right? That whole mind could be destroyed by an act of unconsciousness. So what I was watching is how that orientation towards loss is robbing me from the expanded awareness from which it is not a loss.
That it's
the abundance of life everywhere, always manifesting in new and different and old ways, that I am robbed of being in identification with. In other words, I can't identify with God if I'm identifying with loss.
Yeah.
Because in God's world, there is no loss.
Yeah. So being identified with loss keeps you from moving to that larger awareness, being identified with God, where there actually is no loss. In fact, there's just abundance.
Yes. And the practice has become, instead of going to that place of loss or judgment or whatever else, it's a signal that that's a collapsed awareness, and my narrative has to be to experience the abundance of life, not the loss of beauty.
Yeah. This seems really important in terms of a process, because of course we could get really caught up, you know, emotionally or whatever, with this tree. This isn't amazing, but to see loss or judgment as a signal to make that movement. Maybe I'm living from that small S, and to make that movement into abundance can be really helpful. It sounds like
essential. If what practice is, the spiritual practice, is to live in more and more expanded states of awareness and higher and higher levels of consciousness, then that movement into, not that one can't feel disappointed or for a moment, but it's the hook of the attention to the attachment to the story of loss, or whatever it is it shouldn't be happening.
Uh-huh.
It's wrong, or how can anyone violate something so beautiful, or how can anyone be so unconscious?
Yeah.
That movement collapses that place of openness, the perspective from which even that is okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and that, when you're saying that, reminds me of what we've been talking around it's not the experience of disappointment or loss or even upset or anger or whatever it is. It's the attachment to that.
Yeah.
So it's, as you said, the attachment is, the attention is now hooked on that.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? And that's what keeps you from living in that higher and higher consciousness, or that more expanded and expanded awareness, which is what we're doing in awareness practice.
Yeah. And it reminds me of that line, you know, Jesus supposedly said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Mm-hmm. I've always struggled with getting to that place.
The forgiveness part?
Well, to be able to say, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." But it's what I'm watching in this conversation is because I'm not in the place from which forgiveness is possible. Like, there's no expanded awareness place where I'm tuned to the abundance of life from which
forgiveness is possible.
Well, not even forgiveness. It's like there's nothing to forgive.
Gotcha.
Right? Because, gotcha. There's not going to be another tree. There's going to be another life. There's going to be another unconscious person. That's just life. There's nothing in life that has any problem with the constant sense of renewal and death.
Yeah. There's nothing in life that has any issue with the constant process of renewal and death. And in that place of expanded awareness, there is no question of forgiveness or not forgiveness.
Yeah, yeah.
In the sense that, in a way, it sounds like you're using that Jesus quote as kind of a pointer to move into a place of, again, of expanded awareness.
And you know, the way it arrived in meditation is that there's such a receptivity, right? Like, this is all of life. It's very sort of, you could say, a female energy. And the male energy is so assertive. And in Hinduism, you have the forces of receptivity and the forces of destruction, but both are required for the force of creativity. Like, the creator of the universe is all of those components, right?
Wow.
And that Trinity is in balance all the time. And to be in that place where I don't collapse because I'm confronted with the destructive aspect.
Yes.
And then collapse, but to know that it's just the renewal process.
It's just the renewal process. And to see that receptivity and that destruction is actually all part of the renewal process.
Yeah, it's the creative. It is creative.
Yeah, it is creativity.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh, it just seems like I've transformed all kinds of things that you're seeing as you're walking around.
Yeah. Yeah, it's most difficult when it comes to trees. I can deal with people, but I can't deal with the destruction of a tree. So it's just interesting.
Yeah, well, it seems like that's what God's offering you.
Yes,
take the foundation.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, take the foundation. Yeah, give you that which is most difficult.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which just seems to be a revealing process.
Yeah. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Wow. This conversation is taking me to this really big place.
Uh-huh.
Super expansive place. Like a place where I was last night, walking home to the Hermitage, looking up at the stars on this new moon night, where it was just jet black and like millions of stars.
Yeah. I don't know if people can go there or listen to that, but if you've ever been like high up in the mountains or a place where there's no city lights, bam, and it's the new moon, so there's no washing out of that light, and it's just...
Oh my gosh. And to just take that in for a moment, like the vastness of space, the vastness of the universe, that each one of those stars, it's like the sun with the whole solar system, and like, I mean, just speck on a speck on a speck. Is what we are. But it's also like that great peace quote, to carry in your pockets and two pieces of paper, one that says, you know, I'm only a speck, and another that says, all of this is for you, essentially.
And it seems like looking up into the sky brings you to that experience.
Yeah.
That piece of paper, you're only a speck, and the other one is everything is created for you. We look up into the sky and just see that vastness.
And have both experiences simultaneously. And hearing that conversation too about that clinging to the life kind of essence, you know, or like part of the continuum, and not wanting the destruction. And Alan Watts said something that I love, and it was something along the lines of as the ocean waves, the universe peoples.
Yes.
Kind of thing. And to just to consider, you know, like generations of human beings as waves, you know, just like mm-hmm. washing through, you know, or like or generations of trees.
Yeah, the tree waves.
Yeah.
And
it's not like with a wave I would, you know, collapse at the washing of the wave upon the shore, like the ending of that wave. It's like, well, yes, you know, it's part of this giant rhythm that's so much bigger than that one wave. Or
yeah, much like what you started about looking up into the vastness, that much larger perspective mm-hmm. of just the existence of people mm-hmm. and that just these waves and it's, you know, this idea that somehow, you know, the wave hits the shore and that's it. You know, that's been going on for eons.
So much bigger than
it's
that.
It's so much bigger than that.
And so much bigger than this, you know, this human experience or whatever. I just love that the practice invites us into that much larger perspective, that it's not anything to know or anything to hold on to, but it feels like just this much bigger container mm-hmm. in which everything can be held, mm-hmm. every experience.
Yeah. Over and over, practice is inviting us into that much, as was just being spoken of, into that much larger place where everything can be held.
Yeah. Thank goodness, too, because sometimes, you know, you need a big container, like, and I really relate to that quote, you know, that what we're working with today, that God shaking the foundations, you know, like, it's so fascinating in practice that sometimes I'm in the little canoe with the current, just like, whoosh, you know, just cruising, just gliding like, yes, this is great. And other times, you know, it's like Sherry said, it's like, it's not just that you're paddling upstream. You actually have one foot in the boat and one foot on the shore. You know, it's like that precarious and that like, clinging kind of thing. And
that's a pretty different experience. Yeah. Now we can see your expressions, but you're just doing it really great. Yeah. It's just like, whoosh, you know, just paddling down, this giant smile, everything's relaxed. And the other one is like a crunching up, one foot in the boat and one foot on the shore, which is very precarious.
Yeah, miserable.
And miserable.
And it's just fascinating too, you know, it's my experience in practice, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, that it oscillates, you know, it ebbs and flows. Sometimes this, sometimes that.
Yeah, that's kind of good to know, isn't it?
Yeah.
It ebbs and flows. Sometimes it's this, sometimes it's sometimes I'm in the precarious, and sometimes I'm cruising downstream.
Yeah, and to so that big container, allowing the space to not make meaning out of it, and to not take any of it personally, and to not let the voices turn it into a, you know, a thing.
Which like, they love to do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not actually necessary, because it can just be.
Yeah. And it sounds like from that, so something happens, and maybe something we don't want, or I don't know, but it tries to make meaning out of it, or make it a thing, and And just to see from that step back perspective that you've been talking about, it doesn't have to be. That's just conditioning making meaning of something.
It's all part of that life experience.
It's all part of that experience.
Life has the creation, the destruction, it has resistance, it has acceptance. Yeah. It's all just part of this.
Yes, and we don't take it very personally from that place, do we?
Right, yeah. Yeah, and trusting too that, I love that thing that I think I've heard Sherry say along the lines of when you're happy, it's helpful to remember that it's possible to suffer, and when you're suffering, it's good to remember that it's possible to be not suffering, to be happy, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, it's just this stay, wrapping up 30 days here at the monastery, it's been like one of the... sometimes you hear a meditation hall referred to as like a furnace chamber, you know, for ego. This has been one of the hotter visits I've had, you know, where it's just like, you know, like, I don't know, a combination of content, you know, being sick for a good portion of it, having an injured back for a good portion of it, you know, and just this very like, you know, it's like life kind of saying like, sit here, you know, just sit here.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to turn up the heat, you know. Oof.
Yeah. Sit here, and we're gonna turn up the heat.
Oh, God, I can't. Well,
and it is like a furnace, and there's one of the reactions is like
Yeah, and you know, it can be so valuable having that experience for so many reasons. One is that I get to see. It's really fascinating that it's like there's parallel tracks. Like there can be the ego experience of like, I can't take it. Simultaneously, there's a heart experience that's totally okay.
Yeah.
Completely okay.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that, in my experience, those things can both be here. It's just, you know, what am I attending to?
Wow.
As soon as I attend to, like, you know, sometimes I ask myself that question in the middle of the, it's like, where are your feet? You know, what's your bottom sitting on? Where are you?
Yes.
Is there any problem right now? And it's, oh, the answer is always, no. No. I guess there's not. You know? No.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that comes from what you were just saying about it's good to remember from that place of suffering that it's possible. There's another possibility. It's possible to be happy.
Yeah.
So you sound like you've done a lot of training to ask yourself in that place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all relate to that.
Oh, yeah.
Just, where's your feet right now?
Yeah.
What, can you feel what you're sitting on?
Right.
Which,
yeah.
Kindness, right? What a kind question. And then, actually, everything's fine. Right?
I'm fine.
And to see, and to have that awareness of those parallel tracks, and back to your, there's an ebb and flow.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm in this place, on this track of, get me out of here.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm in that other place.
Yeah.
Paddling downstream.
Exactly. And
it sounds like the way you're saying that there's nothing wrong from that place.
No, as long as it's held within that big container.
As
you know,
as
soon as I'm in that conversation of making meaning about it, ooh, it can seem like there's a lot wrong. But it's just that narrow laser beam focus on that conversation that creates that illusion.
That's an important point too, what you were just saying, is having that awareness that the only difference in those two experiences is where the attention is.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's laser focused on, I hate this, and I wish it was different.
That's your experience.
That's experience.
Mm-hmm.
But again, having done practice, knowing, as you said, practice offers us that larger container.
Yeah.
We know how to direct the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And we have those experiences of the dual parallel tracks. And wow, there's a choice here.
It's fabulous. This is the most amazing thing ever. And it's great too to watch, you know, so there's the waves, and it's really interesting because, you know, you hear, sometimes it seems like on retreat, it can happen really fast, up, down, in and out, you know, resistance, openness, resistance, like in a matter of hours. And then other times it's a period of days or sometimes weeks or months even. It's just fascinating to watch. And then, you know, I was like, resistance, and then just this, I don't know, I don't know if it like is related, but it just coincidentally this weather change, and it went from like really cold and rainy, like now suddenly it's spring, and it is absolute like yesterday the birds chirping and the sun and the smell of fresh cut grass, and like I'm just projecting everybody's so happy and working on these projects and like oh my gosh, my heart just broke open with joy, all resistance completely vanished, just melted into this golden glow and like. Whew, it's nice, you know, it's lovely. And in that, you know, it'd be easy to get really attached to that, like, experience, like, I just want that, but I really got it, like, as it broke, the resistance broke into the surrender, into the joy, I really kind of got that there's no problem with the resistance. There's nothing wrong with that resistance. And as a matter of fact, I mean, it seems like it's part of the cycle, just like there's winter and summer. Like every cycle that we talk about, it's like, there's nothing wrong with that experience.
Yeah, we have that weather shift, and it was really, really beautiful yesterday. Warm and birds, and it's just easy to go to that place of just like happy and joyous,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds like you're watching it, you know, it could be an attachment to that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it sounds like in that, and you know, I wish it was always like this,
mm-hmm.
and in that moment, really seeing actually, there's no problem with the resistance. In fact, it seems a part of the cycle, just like there's cycles in the seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, what a relaxing place. You know, in that place that you were saying, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Very relaxing. And yeah, it's all, I mean, in a way, it was like, I kind of saw how, you know, I don't know, like leaves decompose and create this great, you know, organic material that you can grow a beautiful garden in.
Uh-huh.
It's like that, you know, resistance to that and all that kind of stuff in a way. Maybe it's just that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and flowers grow out of it. It's like the lotus coming out of the muck kind of thing. Like yesterday, in the in the release, just there was gratitude in a way for that experience of
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun to see those metaphors, those parallels, mm-hmm. right? Just like the leaves decomposing and then feeding the flowers that are growing and about to grow, mm-hmm. and the lotus coming out of the muck. Mm-hmm. You can maybe see our own experience mm-hmm. like that.
Yep, exactly. And it seemed like the key to all of it was holding that big container, yeah. that willingness to stay in that open space where, you know, just because it's right now doesn't mean there's anything wrong. It doesn't mean I have to believe anything that the voices are saying about it, you know, and to just stay with it.
Yeah, that's an important point, isn't it? The willingness to stay in that larger container. Mm-hmm. You know, just I can hear, you know, there's that kind of those reminders. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to believe anything that the voices are saying. You know, kind of it's all okay. And just the willingness to stay with that, because of course the karmic pull is to get into those kind of conversations, but just to stay in that larger place and let the process happen.
Yeah, and it's just so huge to get to that. Just the last thing I'm seeing about it is that it could be so easy to go into that content place of like, I just hate this, you know, like whatever it is, like cleaning this bathroom or whatever, like if I was just doing something different, you know, and to be trained to that place of it's knowing from experience, like it's not that, because I could move to some different content and it would just be the same experience.
Yes, or you could move to a bathroom and to have a joyful experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it applies just everywhere in life, no matter what you're doing, where you're with, who you're with.
Yeah. Gosh, that's why I love recording and listening, is to remind ourselves of what's true, mm-hmm. because you've had the experience. You know, it can get kind of collapsed on, oh, I just didn't have to do this thing, clean the bathroom or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But like you said, I think from my experience, that's not true. You know, I could move to another content and still be like, I don't want to do this, you know?
And I've had a great time doing the same thing.
So have a great time doing the same thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. And just to remind ourselves that when we're in that, in those kind of places, you know, kind of what you started with, Sherry, just saying, you know, when you're in a place of suffering, it's always good to remember there's a possibility of being happy, another possibility.
Yeah.
And a willingness to practice that.
Yeah.
This place amazes me. It's always full of surprises. It's like there's only, you know, normally the room is full of people and suddenly there's like no one. And I have no idea why, and I don't even care anymore.
Because nobody tells us anything.
Nobody tells us anything. Whatever. So,
but it is always surprising, isn't it? When we're
it is amazing, yeah, like the land of paradoxes. I mean, you know, the whole world is full of paradoxes, but here it's really, there's like a focus on it. It's the place where the schedule's the same every day, and yet every day it's like, wow, didn't know that was going to happen, you know? So that is, yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
It's fun.
It's usually, yeah, actually, it's almost always fun, actually, that part.
It's so good to check in and say, that's mostly fun. I actually really like that.
I do like that, yeah. I do like that. So, yesterday I had, I don't know how to spit this out. I'm so part of my brain is like, so from the beginning, not from the beginning, but from early on, I think I had talked about like, you know, it was really difficult in the beginning. And Sherry had said, well, you know, write a list of all the things you hate about this place or don't like about this place, or that conditioning, you know, we're saying.
Yeah.
And then write a list of all the things that you like about the place. Well, when I had done that, I don't know if I ever shared this, so I had like, I don't know, like 3 or 4 pages of stuff that I really didn't like about this place, or conditioning really didn't like, right?
Yeah,
and I certainly was identified with it,
yeah.
Right? And then I started writing stuff I like, and I had 7 pages of stuff that I already liked, and this was like, you know, this is like 2 months ago. Right, yeah, exactly, you know, and there's been a lot more since then, and so that's really helpful.
That's really,
you know,
revealing, isn't it?
It was super revealing.
Gosh.
You know, so my experience has been, there are assignments, and some I do, and some I don't do, and some I do, and it doesn't seem to resonate, you know, and that must have been one that I don't ever remember doing, and I might have done it, but it was like, wow, you know, how is this happening, you know, and it's just, I guess, I was open to it being whatever happened, and I started writing, and I had tons of stuff.
Yeah, the willingness of just being spoken of, like, I don't know, I guess, I mean, I don't always do all the assignments, but I'm going to do this one. Or maybe you just started doing that one.
You know, it's like the gift of desperation. It's like, I just want to get out of here, you know? And it was just like, you know, I'm miserable. Every day I'm miserable. You know, counting the day, like, you know, there was a long future ahead.
There was a lot of days.
If I'm going to be like this every day, it's just going to be awful. And so I'm desperate to see if what can happen.
Yeah.
And then ever since that time, I've been like, no intention of leaving, you know. Well, there was one time. But anyway, but you know, that's pretty good. That's great. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, like every day, I was like, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. So anyway, so that's just an aside. Well, they're all asides, I guess.
Well, it's really important, though, don't you think, that place of the gift of desperation, the gift of suffering, you know, and it brings us to that place, you know, at some point where we just go, fine, I'll stop doing it my way. You know, I'll stop trying to do whatever I normally do.
Right. I'll stop being in that rut.
I'll stop being in that rut. And here's an assignment from the guide, so what the heck?
Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't.
Maybe it will, maybe it won't. And just to go,
what I'm doing right now is not working.
Yeah. And again, that place too of here comes suffering and I've got to get out of here. And the willingness to stay.
Well, yeah, the willingness to stay long enough to do the exercise.
The willingness to stay long enough to give the person a chance, which is both in that assignment and staying here. Yeah, so staying is kind of what we were just talking about, right? Hanging in there long enough, kind of have a little bit of a distance to know, okay, I don't have to believe everything. I know it's the voices. Let me just hang in there. Because we probably had some experiences of when we hang in there, there's movement. Right. There's a shift.
The flowers eventually bloom.
That experience of here comes the flowers. Here's the process of renewal and abundance. I don't quite see it yet, but I'm willing to just hang in there and maybe that'll happen. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? And, you know, it seems to me it's usually just a matter of time. You know, it always happens.
Well, see, then
well it's like the cycle that was already talked about.
Yes.
You know, it's always...
Yes, and that's so fun, isn't it? To have that directive experience, and you see it over and again, it just seems to keep happening.
Yeah, and I'm looking for the time that it becomes more and more second nature. And I guess for me this is related. Also thinking about it's important for me to remember it's a miracle just to be alive. Always, it's a miracle that I'm still breathing and I have a chance to experience more. That's a miracle. Can I stay there? You know, I mean, I think at the kickoff of the retreat, that's my interpretation of one of the exercises. And, you know, and that's a really good place. It means like if I'm in excruciating pain, well, I'm still alive. Mm-hmm. And I happen to know about end of life research. And actually the evidence shows absolutely that's how people are. Mm-hmm. If you ask a 20-year-old, what if you were like disabled, would you want to be alive? They're like, no, I'd rather be dead. When you talk to a disabled person and say, would you rather be alive or would you rather be like almost like a vegetable? Like, yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. Uh-huh. It's really, it's Zen. It's very Zen, yeah. I think, and it's great.
Yeah, I'll take it because I'm in touch with the miracle of being alive.
Yeah, it's so precious.
It's so precious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. And it's interesting that place of I want it to be second nature.
Right. Every time I go to that dark
like
place,
process.
It's, you know, this place is great. It's, you know, there's been a lot of movement. So anyway, so the thing I still haven't mentioned yet that I wanted to mention was that I guess it was yesterday I had this experience of when I leave here I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't even know if I'm going driving east or west. I have a friend who may fly into San Francisco and drive with me or not. I won't find out until after I leave. I mean, I've been invited to a Valentine's Day party in West Virginia. I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. You know, I really have no idea. And once I get back, I don't know what I'm doing. So, and it doesn't seem to bother me too much. I'm sort of excited about the possibilities. And that, I haven't felt that way. I haven't felt that way since my early 20s.
No.
For decades, I thought that feeling was never, ever going to come back. Mm-hmm. That feeling of like, you know, I'm throwing myself into this. I don't know anyone. I don't, you know, when I first moved to Philadelphia, I didn't know anyone. I had a job, but it was like, I knew nothing.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I came from a rural place, no traffic lights, and there were 30 traffic lights to get to work every day. I remember how stressful that was initially. And
Fingerless with their ouch, yeah.
I couldn't believe there could be that many traffic lights. It was like 2 miles, you know?
I'm supposed to be learning something from this guy. Yeah. I don't know.
But, so that's huge. And I forgot to record about it. You know, I think I mentioned yesterday, there's all this stuff that I'm like, I want to write it down, I got to record, because my experience has been, it's easier, if you think it's difficult to record here, get out in the real world, it becomes even harder, has been my experience. Mm-hmm. So I always try to do as much as I can while I have a chance.
Yeah, and that is an important one, isn't it? Getting on the recorder about living in that place of possibility. You know, it's kind of like what you started us off with around, you know, you just never know what's going to happen, you know, and I come in here and usually there's a lot of people, now there's not very many people, and just, I don't know why, and just that trust of, I don't know, I'm just going to be here and show up, I'm just going to do this assignment, because I'm tired of doing it how I normally do,
right?
And just watching, wow, I'm actually kind of happy in this place.
Well, yeah, and because even though there are plenty of times when I'm not, you know, jumping for joy around here, it's open to the possibility, I think of it as like miracles. Every day there can be miracles. So for me, what is a miracle? Something you think couldn't possibly happen, and then it happens. And I firmly believe if you can really be open, and if you're in a really aware place, the miracles happen every day, all the time. They're constantly happening.
Yeah. And what I imagine is when you said when we're aware and when we're looking for them.
Right.
You know, what is a miracle? Something that you didn't think could happen happens.
Right, so, just open that maybe it might happen.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh, it happened.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so what happened yesterday was a miracle. Really? I can have that same feeling like I had in my 20s where I'm like, okay, let's go. I have no idea what's going to happen. It'll be fine. Uh-huh. You know?
Yes.
What happened is when in my 20s, it was, you know, it was awful. I got really depressed about 9 months into it. And, you know, little by little, how conditioning just sucks out that energy. Mm-hmm. And then you come to a place where you're like, no, I'm afraid to think about the possibilities.
That was the process that we get talked into and
right. The
closing up. And then it has, in a conversation around, that's never going to be possible again.
Yeah.
And to see the miracle, actually it is possible. In fact, you're experiencing it right now.
Yeah.
And it sounds like kind of, I don't know what you'd say, like a confidence that it seems like that process is going to be possible outside this property as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you know it's a process, not related to a place.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's process.
Yeah.
It's always process.
Yeah.
And also, and this and related to what other people said is, I don't know, I think of it as context. The word I use is context. But I remember in the 90s, I was at a book club. We read this book by Roland Barthes. It's called The Pleasure of the Text. And he's a philosopher, and his whole idea is that the context means everything. And that was really enlightening to me at the time. I'm like, well, you know, the Buddha figured that out 2,000 years earlier. He didn't have to, you know. And it really is true. The context determines everything. The dualism resides within the context. And if you can shift to the proper context, which is the whole context, the universe, the whole, the God, changes everything.
Yes.
So
yes, moving into that, into the context, which is the whole, which is everything, and you can make that movement, and to know that duality that we often get caught up in actually resides within that.
Right.
But it can feel like that's the end, that's the wall, that's
yeah.
the end. But to know that I can actually step out of that and live in the context, which is everything.
Yeah, and then if you indulge me, I have a story about a tree. So
okay.
In Philadelphia, one of the founding fathers is buried in the cemetery. And like in the 1820s or something, you know, a bunch of patriots, they wanted to commemorate the founding father, and they planted an oak tree there. And as that oak tree grew, it's like the democracy grew. Well, here it is 150 years later, and the roots of the oak tree have obliterated everything underground, have gone through the whole crypt and everything. And a huge branch fell out of the top, because it's built above and above ground, fell on top of the thing and just destroyed it. So, you know, the irony of, you know, the people, they're like, we're going to plant a tree here and it's going to be great. And there's not much left for the tree to commemorate anymore.
And we can just we can just sort of laugh.
Yeah.
And not make meaning or, you know, all that kind of stuff that we might tend to go to, but just laugh. Because, yeah.
Well, it's totally part of the miracle.
You don't know
what's going to happen, and you know, you're thinking, I always think I know, you know, conditioning always thinks it knows. Uh-huh. And of course, we don't. We can't know. Uh-huh. And I like to be reminded, like, I love this place because you get reminded of that over and over again. Mm-hmm. Don't make the mistake of thinking you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because we don't. And we don't know what might come of that. We don't know why, what's the unfolding that's happening with that tree branch falling. You know, and we can get pulled into, you know, what conditioning does, which is I know. And then we remind it, we don't.
No, we don't know.
And there we go, we make that movement right in that place. We're back into where the miracles.
Yeah.
How fun.
Thank you.
June.
So we're talking along, and every 30 seconds, I hear something really inspiring that helps open the view, and then I watch forgetting happen.
Uh-huh. So you're listening, and about every 30 seconds, it sounds like, you know, just hearing something that really you resonate with you, it inspires you, and then watching a process of how forgetting
happens.
Like as if that didn't happen. The opening and the inspiration.
Looking. Let me start over. I'm trying to be different, and I'm trying to find the strength to be different and a place from which to be different. Uh-huh. And so I'm listening for things that are going to solve the problem for me.
I see.
And so I hear something, and I feel a little encouragement, and I grab it so that it will solve my problem for me. Mm-hmm. And before I know it, I can't remember, you know, and then, of course, self-forgetting just rips it right away. And it wasn't until I just started saying this that I saw that that's what's going on.
Yeah, wow, gosh, so good to see, isn't it? I think you said wanting to be different and seeing from which that comes from. And in this place, it's like there's the context of wanting to be different that's kind of going on, it sounds like. And then so there's a listening for things that will make me different.
Things that will help me. Things that will help.
Yes, and that's kind of tricky too, right? It's like, things that will help, okay. You know, that sounds good. but seeing as you go along and listen, that there's a process of it, then there's the inspiration, and then trying to hold on to it, and then kind of a grabbing by conditioning and forgetting. Gosh, it's so amazing, isn't it, that those things are kind of going on in the background, and here again, so great to be participating, because you just saw that reveal right now.
I think the handwriting on the wall reads, there comes a point when you just have to say no. Mm-hmm. You just have to get out of the conversation. You just have to, I'm going to get emotional here. Mm-hmm. You just have to choose the being. You just have to take care of her.
Yeah.
There's no thinking about it. There's no wiggling around it. There's no hearing the right words. There's no formula. There's no series of thoughts that are going to get you there. It's you just have to choose what ego screams constantly will be unbearable. Because, and you've done it before. I've done it before. And I know that's one of those gateless gates. And yet when I'm in it, when I get so identified in it, in the push-pull of it, and the yes-no of it, making the choice for freedom, for being conscious, mm-hmm. for love, mm-hmm. It's really hard.
It's really hard, and it sounds like that's what you want to do. You want to say,
I want to, sitting here right now.
Yes.
And the inner, you know, everything moves, movement, energy yeah. moves.
Yeah.
And it goes in those old karmic conditioned patterns. And it doesn't happen, you know, the just choosing love instead of karma.
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
And when that emotion came up, I mean, my projection onto that, does it seem like it's happening right now?
It does feel like it's happening right now. It feels very much like.
Yeah.
And.
So what's true is you can't say no, you just did. And you can choose love, you just did. And that was, you could feel the resonation in that, in the body. Yeah. And you know, just kind of what was being spoken, like, gosh, sometimes that suffering is the thing that helps us. Finally, you know, we try this and we try that, and you know, we believe that you're not gonna be able to stand it, even though we have before, you know. But it's really compelling, you know. And at some point, we're just like, no, I don't want to do that anymore. You know, does that mean we won't do it anymore? Of course not. But there's something that seems really important about coming to that place that I reject you're coming to or at. No, I don't want to do that anymore. And I know that process of saying no, and I know that process of saying yes. Love and all those good things that we want for that person.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I get caught up in the duality. Choose, go down, do this behavior or this behavior. And there's those are the only two.
Yeah, this push or that pull. Which one would you like to? Yeah.
And it seems, and perhaps this is where it's unclear, it seems like this behavior is the right one, is going to lead to some sort of liberation from the karma.
Just like what was going on in the group this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the...
Because this one certainly hasn't.
Uh-huh.
And isn't going to. This other one.
Uh-huh. That's
the bad one.
This bad one.
Although, yeah. I mean it's... Help me here. Just be blunt. Just tell me what's going on.
Well, I mean, just what I heard you saying, I mean, that's the seduction. Right? So it kind of puts us in that place of suffering and says, well, that doesn't work. You mean you want to, I mean, this is my projection, so you can tell me, but do you want something better? You know, then there's something going, well, yeah, well, you know what you can do. And there's the hook that are now our attention, and it seems hopeful. I'm going to be helped. This is going to get better. But as you're pointing out, it's actually just part of that duality. It's all part of the suffering, you know? And then we go and do that thing. Well, that didn't work either. And what you said, it's just like, no to that, all of that. No to that. that conversation of this behavior or that behavior? Because as you said, you know, once we get into that, it's the ping pong match Sherry talks about. But I wonder if that, I mean, just what came up when you said that is, I wonder if that would be a helpful recording about how that works for you. So that that actually could be the cue.
Well, I haven't been clear enough to do much on it. I just had the picture of, because it's a daily swing, and it's a really slow ping pong match.
Yeah, if it would just move faster, we'd be like, wait a second, what's going on here? That's a good image. Really slow, and we don't realize that we're in the duality.
Oh, I realize it. I see it. Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't seen that. What I'm believing is that this is a bad behavior and this is a good behavior, uh-huh. and I need to stop that and do this. And there, and the middle way is going to look more like the good behavior.
Oh, okay.
You know, I can see that. It's because it's, but the place that doing the good behavior from,
yeah,
is the crucial part.
Yeah, that's really important. So seeing that what it does is puts it into duality. This is a bad behavior, and this is a good behavior, and then kind of brings in practice language. Well, the middle way is actually kind of like that good behavior, but seeing right now clearly from which the place that the quote good behavior is coming from. Yeah. It's coming from the conversation that's creating all the suffering. Wow, that's so helpful to see. Especially as you said, because you sense that it goes on all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that, and that's been a confusing place. How does this happen? No, I'm going to say it like it started to come out of my mouth. How do I do this every day? Here it is. Here's this, and it's a place of no possibility of feeling completely caught.
Mm-hmm. Happens every day. Feels like no possibility, feeling caught. Yeah. And is there a sense that you're somehow being blamed for that?
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Yeah, just, you know, to use the word that I've used 100,000 times in this room, just trapped in it. And
yes, the person's trapped in it. Something that's been going on forever.
Yeah.
They can project way before her. So it does its thing, keeps them in the trap, and then says, well, it's your fault. Gosh, how cool, yeah? I mean, really, it sounds like what she needs is someone to say no.
Yeah, oh, I think it's just, you know, and again, there's the funny, the squirrely place. I suppose if there were some sort of AA meeting for this of some sort,
this is kind of that.
One of the steps is you just stop. You just have to stop. I suppose in this situation, it's just stop both of them. Just stop the conversation. Just stop. Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just go blank because it does seem like stopping the behavior has to happen first. I have to act my way into a new way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that behavior change produces a change in consciousness. Yeah. Well, it's fun because there's kind of, it sounds like a couple different ways to work with it. You know, one, it sounds like it's trying to tell you you don't know the process and you're confused about it, but I don't know what you'll think when you listen back to this, but it seems like you are kind of aware. You are aware of how it's working. You know, getting familiar with that, you know, that could be really fun. Oh, that's happening again. You know, get on the recorder, what we were talking about. Where's my feet? You know, what am I sitting on? What's going on around me? Can I look at a tree? Tell me about that tree, that getting out of that conversation. And then it sounds like the other way that you're talking about working with it is identifying those behaviors that are, quote, trying to be helpful or get the right answer or fix or whatever that is, and choose a different behavior, which could be something even like we were just talking about, getting here, getting on the recorder, doing some just funky chicken dance, you know, or something that says, it says no in a kind of a, could be a fun way, you know? It doesn't have to be heavy and battle and that kind of thing. I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah, thank you, because it's been really heavy.
Yeah. And it can go on and do whatever it's going to
do. So I can do the funky chicken instead of the behavior. Instead of sitting down and holding on and getting out the resistance that's going to arise, just get into the funny chicken.
Gosh. We can all just relate to that place of like, I protect your saying, like trying to stop the conversation, like keep this from happening. It's like, oh, that's the engagement. That's the misery. You know, just to, what a way to completely say, no, I'm not participating with you at all, but to get up into a little funky chicken dance. And what a relief to the body, you know, just watching your body movements, like, whew, that'd be nice. Because if you're doing funky chicken, you won't be able to do what it wants us to do, which is clench up everything in our system.
Okay.
And to me, too, I mean, every time that happens, woohoo! Point for June, you know, just like, because of course it never gives us any credit for all the things we're doing, like, and talking about this in group right now. Making those movements.
Thank you.
We have 2 more minutes if anything, anyone has a last comment. Ashwin?
I was just, as I was sitting in meditation, I heard that same thing about, wow, all those people are not in the, what are we going to talk about? I mean, this is going to be a short group. And it's 2 things dropped in about that, about how those people are probably in conversations that they don't count.
They're in conversations they don't count.
That, it, you know, that normal place of we don't belong, if I'm not here, what's going to happen?
Uh-huh.
And how much we miss, how much we know, we feel their presence through their absence,
mm-hmm.
and how every single person mm-hmm. counts.
Yes.
And then that miraculous place that, of what was the if one tree falls, that doesn't mean that all of life isn't there in full presence for everything that is there,
mm-hmm.
including that absent tree,
mm-hmm.
was mm-hmm. the experience of this group, right? It didn't matter that the room wasn't full of people. Life just showed up fully in every single person
yes.
in this group. And
yes.
it was one of the most amazing experiences of that miracle
yeah.
of existence that we tend to focus on absence and on what's not there.
Yes.
And yet that focus deprives us from being fully taking part in everything that is and that we are part of that.
Yes, we're part of that.
We're part of it.
We are that fullness.
Yeah.
We are that abundance.
Yeah, it's a fallacy that numbers make something.
Uh-huh.
Because whatever is there can be completely, fully, wholly that.
Yes. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Like, life's contained in a certain amount of people, and if you don't have enough people, you're not going to have enough life in your group or something.
That's right. Or the practice won't survive, or the practice doesn't exist, but for whatever shows up.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly,
yeah.
all of life shows up,
yeah.
right?
Yes,
completely.
Like life's like, oh, we've got this number of people.
Oh, these forms to manifest through, right?
Yes,
there's
exactly.
all of it.
It's the channel.
It doesn't
matter how many.
It's the context thing, right? That all always is all.
All always is all.
Only
yes.
conditioned mind subtracts.
Yeah, imagines an absence of something.
An absence of something, or a requirement for a critical mass of something, or any of those silly things.
It sounds really silly, actually, when you say that loud.
Yeah, but have that experience that the container is always full.
The container is always full. Wow.
Yeah, it's a total miracle.
It is a total miracle to be living in that. Process. Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you all.